Welcome to Lang Time Chat, episode 56, which I am calling an a posteriori challenge.
Sounds good.
I may have recently had a slight problem of remembering whether this should be called priori or posteriori. That was a challenge in and of itself because I really hate these terms.
There's a contingent of malcontents who don't like the terms a priori or a posteriori as well, but for philosophical reasons, they suggest that there's no such thing as an a priori conlang, that such a thing isn't even possible, because we're human beings who have heard at least one language in our lives.
That is not the reason I dislike these terms. I dislike these terms because they cloud what they actually represent. And you have to really think about it, and it's like, it makes sense why one would be called a priori and one would be called a posteriori if you stop and really think about it. But to me, if you have to stop and think about a term, it now has lost its appeal. And it should be more straightforward. You should be able to just hear it and say yes. And so I don't have a great replacement other than to say this will be a challenge where you conlang using existing materials, in this case, existing language materials. But yeah, this is the fourth episode, moving on from my disdain of this particular term. This is our fourth episode of a five-part mini-series whereby we have talked about using existing materials and creating languages from them. And this is the second of the two challenges that are part of this five-part series. And so this episode presents the challenge. In the next episode, we will look at the results of the challenge. Now, we're also doing something a little new because David and I are not looking at the same screen. I am the only one who can see the screen. So he is getting treated like a true podcast experience and is only going to hear whatever I tell him. And he has no idea what this challenge is.
I am so delighted to be interviewed, though you haven't asked me any questions yet.
And I have no intent. I will be doing a lot of telling, not a lot of asking.
Be telling.
Listen, last episode was our chance to talk about posteriori conlangs that we have already done.
Yeah.
And so this one is a chance for anyone to have some fun with the challenge to be able to compare, starting with the same sets of materials. To be able to compare what other people come up with. And also, it's a way for any of you who have been thinking, I would love to give this a try, but, you know, I'm not sure exactly where to start. Maybe this will help you dip your toes into the posteriori pool. Exactly. Mm-hmm. David just did a weird pinky toe dip.
Yeah.
Delight over here. And you all missed it because it's not on camera.
P-T-D-D.
All right, here we go. I am setting up a scenario.
All right.
For a community of speakers. There's actually going to be three potential groups of communities of speakers, and you'll see why. But the base scenario is all the same. It is, having escaped from human zoos long ago, a group of kangaroo rats made a home with the Langtime mice.
Oh.
And so, this is our starting point. Now, some of you may be saying, why kangaroo rats? These are, you know, animals that are supposed to be in the Canada area. And if you know about kangaroo rats, you know that they are most at home in the deserts. However, that's why they had to escape from some human place when the humans were still there. And so they have roots going back to human zoos and probably labs, but let's not focus on that. And they are now stuck in Canada and they are fighters. They have learned how to survive in Canada. And then even if you're still asking why these guys, I am going to share with you a few photos. Like, look at this little guy. And David, since you're not looking at the screen, I hope I just texted you. And hopefully you're looking at an image. All right, so this is a very adorable close-up of a kangaroo rat. And, like, I don't know how anyone wouldn't want this to be a speaker. I mean, we've already got the mice. We should add these little guys to it. Mm. So that's reason number one, is they're adorable.
And, well, I'll wait till you list all your reasons to add some of my own.
Okay. Reason number two is that there was a book written in, it must have been the late 80s. You know what? I don't know when it was written. I was introduced to the book in the very early 90s, like 91 range, and it's called I Am Leaper by Annabelle Johnson. And it is a book about a kangaroo rat who can speak. And so it, like, speaks into this little microphone, and it speaks into a computer, and it's able to show what the kangaroo rat is saying. And so then, like, the main character is this kid who ends up, like, helping the kangaroo rat. And this book just absolutely captured my imagination as a young reader, and it was one of my favorite books that I read and reread several times over during that time frame of my life. Until I was introduced to The Westing Game, and that book took over as my favorite. But anyhow, so kangaroo rats have long had a good place in my mind and in my memory. In particular, you know, like these kangaroo rats are, of course, most at home with the mice because, you know, like mice, they are rodents. You can also see that they're bodies are very similar. If you're not looking at the slideshow, by the way, if you're just listening, please Google images of kangaroo rats if you're not familiar with them, because they are just delightful. But they look like little mice, with the exception that they have these fabulously long tails. And so they're just really, really long. And at the end of their tail is like a tuft. It's kind of like a gerbil tail, if you've ever seen it, with that little tuft at the end. But with a kangaroo rat, it's even a bigger tuft, and that tail is even, like, longer. And then also, kangaroo rats get their name because of the way that they can leap, and so they have these really strong hind legs for leaping. So they can leap great distances. And in fact, if you do Google images, I didn't put images in here of this because I am not a huge fan of snakes, and I would not ever purposely make myself look at snakes. But there are some great images of kangaroo rats managing to leap away from predators like snakes in the desert, because they can just jump so doggone high. And so that's how they got their name, is because of their jumping ability. So those are the reasons that I have for choosing kangaroo rats, why they're with the mice, and some little facts about them. And now, David, your one interview question of the night. What was I supposed to ask you?
I mean, I am just surprised, given that, you know, if you are somebody who is our age, by which I mean Jesse's and I's age, usually the first place that you ever heard about a kangaroo rat was with Mr. Steele, your girl, right here, if you'll check your texts.
I did.
Jake from the Rescuers Down Under, who is absolutely 100% stealing Zsa Zsa Gabor from Whositz. I don't even remember his name. Because, of course, Jake comes on the screen and he's immediately the superior mouse.
It's not Bianca and Bernard?
Bernard, that's his name. Yes.
But it's Bernard.
Yeah. So, anyway, the one of the subplots, of course, The Rescuers Down Under, is that Jake, the superior mouse, is very clearly trying to steal Bianca from Bernard. Almost as obvious as the French guy in Cheers. Bernard wins the day, and he and Jake gracefully bows out and says to him, "Well done, mate," when he finally proposes, when Bernard finally proposes.
Listen, this is all well and good. It has been a very long time since I've seen Rescuers Down Under. I did not remember his character specifically being a kangaroo rat.
Yep.
I thought he was a mouse with an Australian accent.
Well, he is what's called a kangaroo mouse. I don't know if a kangaroo mouse is different from a kangaroo rat, and for that, I think Bibliridian is going to skewer me.
As he should, especially since you brought it up. And so now I'm very curious. I remember I used to love that movie, and it's really a shame that I haven't seen it in decades now. But I watched it so many times over. I liked both The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under, but I liked The Rescuers Down Under better of the two, even though I really liked both movies. Anyway.
Not to be confused, apparently, with the spectacled hare wallaby, or smaller Australian marsupial relatives of kangaroos and wallabies known as rat kangaroos. The kangaroo rat is from North America. The kangaroo mouse is from North America, and the genus for both, the genus for the kangaroo rat is Diplodomys, and the kangaroo mouse is Microdiplodops.
So, okay, so...
they're basically the same animal.
Sure, but they're both from North America.
Yeah.
Rescuers Down Under obviously takes place in Australia with Jake, this Australian-speaking... mouse.
Are you saying that Disney was lazy in their research?
I think
Disney
got it wrong. However, in I Am Leaper, Leaper is a legit kangaroo rat, and is there it's like in a desert area. So, you know, it's legit. I love Rescuers Down Under, but I may question its legitimacy until Bibliridian tells me otherwise. All right, so let's return to the scenario, David.
Yeah.
We're getting back into it. We, for this challenge, are interested in three groups of kangaroo rats. I wanted to give people options with how they worked with our a posteriori conlang challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have options, not only options for people who want to make, you know, certain kinds of decisions versus others, like maybe people are more interested in really taking the helm and like creating their own whole set of sound changes, whereas other people want certain things already sort of set and they want to do some other changes down the line. So it's like, you know, it kind of depends on what you're most interested in. It also depends on what sort of takes your fancy with these scenarios and with the forms you're being given. But I think it also is going to be a great way, you know, if we have multiple participants beyond just the two of us, a great way to compare how different things can be depending on whether you take an earlier form of a language or a more modern form of a language. And so that's one reason why I have three groups, and I'm going to give you a little backstory on each of them. Group one. So some of the kangaroo rats, I'm on the slides just calling them KRs because kangaroo rats got really long and was taking up a big chunk of space. So KRs is kangaroo rats.
Kurs,
exactly. But some of the kangaroo rats were incredibly concerned with the increasing calls for committee-driven lives very early on. And so they left before the committees took over. They were out. This is group one, who I am calling Tsik Moof, which is like group one in our language. But they're called Tsik Moof because they're leaving before the codas are lost. And so that is the form for their little group one name. Group two, who I'm calling Tsi Tso. There's a glottal stop at the end of Tsi. Tsi Tso. We had a glottal stop before it was lost. At the ends where consonants were deleted, where coda stops.
You're absolutely right, we did.
So group two is a medial group, so you're going to be working with a more medial stage if you choose this one. In group two, these kangaroo rats, sorry, I started my sentence and realized I started in the wrong place. As the mice became more dependent on technology, some kangaroo rats felt a calling to live a more analog, nature-driven life. And so they left to do so. They didn't mind the committees. Maybe they took some committee spirit with them, but they were not on board with all of this, you know, moving, charging ahead with structures and mechanical gears and things of that nature.
None of this mousery.
Exactly. They wanted to be more rabbity, and you may notice that you can't spell rabbit without rat.
Hmm.
So they wanted to return to those roots.
And you can't spell kangaroo rat without ooh.
Oh, I love it. All right, so that is group two, or tsi. So there's an ejective palatal stop in that second word.
Oh.
Exactly. Group three, this is the latest breakoff. When battles broke out over Sovala, our peace-loving kangaroo rats couldn't take the lifestyle anymore and left to make their own battle-free oasis. They're not all about fighting over this area, and so as the battles are ongoing, and as you all know, they are ongoing, and David's making the battles even more intense in the game, these kangaroo rats are going to say, nah, make love, not war, peace out, they're out. So this is Thili, this is group three. And I've even presented their name in the writing system, because at this point there would have been the writing system. And, you know, they have the current sounds and everything that are in Wokutiju as they leave. All right, so there's three groups of kangaroo rats. The challenge, should you accept it? Well, those are for the listeners. The challenge that David will accept is to pick a group of kangaroo rats for the starting point of an a posteriori language sketch. And so groups one, two, or three. One is an earlier, three is a later, two is that more medial stage. But more specifically, I'll give you a specific way to tackle this challenge. So that way we're actually comparing the same thing and not apples and oranges, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So the group that you select will, of course, determine the specific challenges you're going to be taking on. Because, like I said, if you do like an earlier group, sound changes, man. They're all out the window. What you going to do with those protoforms? That's up to you. And so that is one, you know, way that the challenge will differ depending on what you choose. All participants are going to work with the same 10 sentences as input. Now, they're the same 10 sentences, but what forms they will look like from your starting point are going to, you know, shift depending on what group you choose. But they all translate to the same thing. And again, this is really important because we could all take Wokutiju in its entirety and say, you know, have fun with it. Your speaker's either left early on, in the middle, or later. But then when we go to compare it, like if we all use different words and none of them actually had the same proto sounds in it, then we're not really seeing a great comparison across the board. And so we're all going to be working with the same 10 sentences. Any questions so far, David?
Mm-mm.
All right. So features to focus on in this challenge include sound changes. Because of course, like, it's not just the early group that can think about those sound changes. Later groups can also think about, you know, like, what sound changes do I want to add in? How do I want to continue shifting, and so on. Other areas to focus on include noun number. So Wokutiju has a singular, dual, and plural form. And so one thing that you may consider is, do you want all three of those forms? Do you want to cut out the dual? Do you want to do something different? So noun number is an area to consider. Case is another area you may want to think about, because we've got this great setup of, if you recall, in Wokutiju, natural versus unnatural case. And so it's not nominative versus accusative. It's, you know, if you're animate, you're more likely to be a subject. And so when an animate noun is in a subject position, it's unmarked. Whereas when an inanimate noun is in a subject position, it's going to be marked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's vice versa for the object position. And so that's just one small area of case. There are also other cases that we created for Wokutiju that you may or may not want to incorporate in your version of the kangaroo rat language. And then negation is another really huge area. And so you'll see in the tense sentences, I do include some negated verb forms. And so, you know, the question is, do you want to do the same thing? Or do you want to, you know, do something a little different? So those are some areas that you may focus on as we do this. David is really, really doing his best to distract me as he sits across from me. And every now and then he's winning, and I really wish he would stop and instead, you know, say things that would help the podcast instead of trying to distract me.
If I may speak.
Please.
I have never done anything even slightly wrong in my entire life. Ever.
I hope your mom's listening to this. All right. She is a patron. She very well could be. All right. We all know David is lying. All right. So we're going to be working backwards. I want to show you these 10 sentences we're working with. And so chronologically speaking, we're actually going to work backwards through these because I'm going to show you the 10 sentences first in their modern forms in Wilkie Teju. And so if you are in, if you decide that your kangaroo rats are in group three, who I've called the peace lovers. So Thili, group three. If this is the group you choose, the input you're going to be using for like where the language starts is modern Wilkie Teju, and you're going to then decide what to do from there. So you are starting with the current stage of the language as your input. And then it's up to you. Do you want to change some sounds? Do you want to change some grammar features? Do you want to do some semantic shifts and change words? What do you want to do? It's up to you. All right, so 10 sentences. And oh, I am now regretting not having David looking at the screen, because that means I am in charge of pronunciation, which David is over here clapping.
You could just take a photo of the screen and send it to me, but go ahead.
There are too many, like,
oh my.
There's going to be a lot. And in that case, I would just be like, pull a chair up, David, you know? So here we go. And David's going to correct me.
So excited.
Every step of the way.
I'm so excited.
First sentence is, the mouse is singing.
Mm-hmm.
Tukijala. Okay. Ejective cha.
No, I know. Tukijala. But there's no other ornamentation needed for that. We don't have subject concord if the noun is present.
It's not required, no.
Very good.
And in fact, that will be a point of discussion. So that is, the mouse is singing.
Mm-hmm.
The two mice are singing.
Yeah.
I kind of can't do that.
Ch-e.
Chew.
Ch-e.
Chew.
It's e, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chew. Chicky?
Yeah. I kind of give up.
Okay. Chickies? Was it chickiswa or chickiswa? With an S.
Jalala is singing, because we've got that plural actional. The subject is plural. Uh-huh. And so the verb gets this reduplicated form.
That's lovely.
And so that's the two mice are singing.
Chikiswa jalala. No, jalala. Yeah, jalala.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a delightful language. I love this.
The third sentence is, the mice are singing. So, Kivu jalala.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have the vu suffix.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, thinking about the number system, obviously the first three sentences are targeting that system directly. They do target that. Now, if you want an added complication, you can include verb indexing markers. And that turns these three sentences into slightly more complicated forms. These are, I want to say, optional. In the language's grammar, it is clearly detailed that these, at this point, are optional. In some points of the grammar that we will hit later on, you cannot have certain elements marked on the verb with other things already there.
Yeah.
But as it is, these are not required. They are bits that could be added. So the mouse is singing could be Juki Jala, but could also be Juki Wa Jala. Mm-hmm. That is another way of doing it, where the wa suffix, high tone, indicates that subject agreement. There are, for third person, there are ways of the verb indexing to indicate whether the speaker is nearer or further away from uh-huh. the third person being referenced. I went with the distant one for these sure. because that is also the generic, where if you're not sure on the situation, the wa is more common than the, I want to say it was we.
I think it's we.
We. Okay. Yeah. But there is another one that could show up, but that one is sort of like, you really need to know that it's a situation where like the mouse that's singing is actually really close to you and the other person you're having a conversation with. All right, and so that wa prefix could also show up with the two mice are singing, because this is not number sensitive, it's only person sensitive. And so chukiswa wa jalala, notice the plurality is marked by the repetition of the la at the end. So jala becomes jalala, and the wa is still the subject marker even when it's two mice instead of one. And so that stays the same, and then it continues with the plural. Chukiwu wa jalala. I love that we have shalala as the pluractional of singing. All right, so those are the first three sentences of the data set. And they just kind of walk you through. I'll show you the full data sets later. It's just, I just wanted to lay the groundwork of like, here are some opening things to consider. And then I directly want to take these three sentences and compare them among the three groups, so that way you can see like, how different the starting points can be. Anything to add there, David?
Mm-hmm. I'm loving it.
Giving myself a little break before we hit the group where it's like, if you thought I was struggling, okay, if you picked up on the fact that I was struggling with the adjective affricate of group one, group two represents the area where like pronunciation is going to be all over the board for me. Once we hit, go all the way back to what is group one with the protoforms, it's much easier. This medial point, though, we had some crazy stopping points. And this is tsi, jo, the jo, the analog seekers is what I call them.
Yeah.
They're the ones getting away from technology. So they left with not boku tishu. They left with a language called Wow Ko Ti Jeu. It's really amazing. It's a mid-stage of the language. It's smack dab in the middle of the coda loss tone shift changes. And so some tones are here, not all tones. And in fact, we have not yet assigned high tone to the open syllables, because that came after all those shifts were done.
Hmm.
It was all the coda loss, and as the codas were finally really, really lost, that's when open syllables also got high tone. And so at this point, you still see codas, some codas, including that glottal stop at the end of tsi, where that was tsik, and the K has become a glottal stop. That was a midpoint. And so,
yeah
it's wild when you go in the middle. This version of the language features the SOV word order that we know and love from the more modern forms. It will include common function words and many inflections, that I actually wrote here, many inflections we know and love. because those inflections became solidified in the language before the point of these sound changes. And we actually had a huge discussion on that, and we actually have charts to show that these sound changes of these kind of grammatical features happened first, and then the sound changes took effect later. And so it's important to know that some of these inflections were solidified. And so if you decide to delete them or do something else with them, that's up to you. But the language you're getting as your input will have them. And so now the mouse is singing. Do you even want to take a guess where this is?
I'm honestly shocked that you did this.
Oh, this was a thing. Okay, so now the mouse is singing in this language. The beginning is not a ch, it's a palatal stop at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so ch, oo, ki. No high tone, it's neutral tone. Low tone for the oo, ch, oo, ki. And then singing, jiara, jiara. We still have ours.
With the old R's, yara.
Yeah.
Yara.
And the ya after the ja has not yet been dropped.
Yeah.
So jiara.
Jiara. Yeah.
So t-u-ki. No, I can't go high tone. T-u-ki. Jiara. And so that is the mouse is singing.
Yeah. T-u-ki jiara.
Then the two mice are singing. We have u ki swa jiarara. And the mice are singing ju ki vu. That one is high tone at the end with a glottal stop. Vu jiarara. And that is the mice are singing. So that is those forms. You have a question.
There's three tone levels?
There are. There's a mid
yeah
tone for the open syllables that have
yeah
not yet received a tone, because
right
the coda situation has left low tone and high tone, but for any syllable that doesn't have a coda, nothing's happened yet.
Yeah.
And so yeah
yeah,
and so
there's
so really
it's just like meniche.
Yeah. And so it's easier in a word where you get all three. What's harder for me is when like all three are just jiara and like just keep it nice and steady in the middle. So anyway, yeah. So that is those sentences. You could, of course, add in the complication of the verb indexing. And so in that case, the prefix is wa, no tone yet, because it is an open syllable.
Yeah.
So
mid-tone.
Wajiara. Wajiara. Yeah, mid-tone is what I meant to say. Not
mm-hmm
no tone. Mid-tone. Middle. That more neutral area.
Mid-tone mouse hatten.
Exactly. That's adorable. And so the wa prefix is the same across the board. So, you know, wajiara for the mouse is singing, wajiarara for the two mice are singing, and wajiarara for the mice in plural are singing. So that is a rundown of group two. Now going back to group one, again, going backwards historically speaking, now we have the non-committee-ers is what I have called them. So tsik muf. Here we don't have tone yet. There's no tone yet in this language. So if you are a patron who is like, I wanted to do a version of wokutishu without tone, or you wanted to take tone in a completely different direction, here's your chance. We've got proto forms. Nothing's been happened to them yet. And so here they left with ananich, which is the primordial squeak. And those are the forms here are represented by the protoforms of the language. The grammar features include SOV word order and some function words like pronouns. Your choice, really, if you do this group, how many of the inflections you want to go with is up to you, because we know that they are solidified by the time we're halfway through the sound changes. They're probably starting to be grammaticalized at the early stages of the language here.
Mm-hmm.
How set those are, though, is really up to your imagination. And so you could really choose to go a completely different way with some of these inflections. So I'm going to present them as if you decided to keep the inflections that we have. What you do with them in terms of grammaticalizing them and reducing their forms is going to be more up to you. So now the mouse is singing. We have that ejective palatal again. So, t-u-ki. E-W. T-u-ki.
Oh.
T-u-ki. And then, yi-ara. Yi. Yiara. This is before we changed the yis to g's.
Is it Y-I-Y?
So I used, by the way, if you're looking at the slides at this point, I used IPA because, like,
okay, so
trying
is it
to make this. So it's
J-I-A-R-A. Oh, Yara.
Yara, yeah.
Yara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yara.
Exactly. And that mouse is yarring. All right, the two mice are singing. And again, here is a major decision point for you because you've got still that the suffix I have put in the full form, sorsa, is where we get the dual form from. And so that is the word for cherry. And so if you want to keep a dual marker and you like the idea of using cherry as the lexical source for that, you want to keep that. It could be up to you, though, how it looks as it gets reduced, because the sound changes you choose to introduce could result in really, really wildly different things. So sorsa is the form right now, but it doesn't need to stay that way. And then, of course, Yara is still there.
Yara, no.
Oh my gosh, you're singing to me, David. Okay, and then the third sentence, the vo that we have seen in other forms actually came from wo-woop. Wo-woop.
Worp.
Wo-woop.
Worp.
God, this is a horrible word.
It's just like an English word. If it were W-O-R-O-O-P. Worp.
Worp. A horrible word.
A worp or word?
And that comes from a word meaning litter. And so,
yes.
So, tuki worup yara.
Now you see where it came from. It's onomatopoeic. You know, you see, it's a whole litter of them. Warup!
That's what you say. These aren't the dogs, David.
No, that's what you say when you see all your whole litter of kids. Warup!
Anyway. So how those forms come together, what inflections take root are up to you at that point. I didn't include the verb indexing prefixes here. They are more complicated. And so if you want to do your own verb indexing forms, the proto forms for these were W, and then it was really, if you really look at it, the protoforms for these indexing markers were W hyphen W.
Uh-huh.
And so what you do with that is up to you. So yeah, there's some very interesting things in the protoforms. All right, so that brings us to the full data sets, because these were just the first three. I wanted you to get a comparison. So hopefully if you've made it this far, you have started to think what group you want to be involved in, if you want to do the challenge at all. And so hopefully you've kind of identified what interests you most. The first three sentences, you know, the mouse is singing, the two mice are singing, and the mice in plural are singing. And I'm going to continue on and let you know what the rest of the sentences are. So this is, of course, in group three form. So this is the ones who leave because they want peace, not the battling. And so this is the modern Wukuthishu. And so you've seen the three sentences already. The fourth sentence, the mouse is singing in the marketplace. So we're adding in a little twist here. We've got, so again, with tuki, and then kopi koku jala. And so, you know, a way to get Kopiko into our
I really like that.
And so here on this one, you do get that. We have that locative ku, low tone ku suffix that shows up. And so that is that sentence. Sentence number five is the mouse is singing with the rabbit. And this was really crazy because we actually had a prefix that's like an applicative and you add it to the verb as a prefix. And so tuki, and then vuete me jala, vuete me jala. And so the me is like part of the, it's what indicates that it's like vuete me, but then you attach that whole thing to the jala.
Yeah.
And me, by the way, if you don't remember, comes from mem, which means to hug. And that means like accompaniment. God, what is that? Commitative. That's the form I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right, so that's sentence number five. Sentence six is the mouse eats the barley corn. So, tuki sithimi. And so that is that one. the mouse doesn't eat the barley corn. We have ki, sithini, tsumipi. And so here's where we get into negation, where that
tsumipi.
Yes, that is correct. Tsumipi. Where the tsu prefix is like a crumb, so doesn't eat a crumb. And notice that it's not sithi in its natural case anymore. It's sithini in the ablative case. Because when you negate something, the object of the verb is actually the negation prefix. And so doesn't eat a crumb. And then from the barley corn is how you mark the object now. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of those grammatical shifts that if you have an earlier group, you can decide if that's how you want to do it. The owl is boiling water.
Huh?
Mawe natache. That is, the owl is boiling water.
Wow.
The owl is not boiling water. Mawe natani pechaji.
Wow.
This language is really something.
I like that.
Then we get the turtles are stacking cherries. Mini vu swazake kuzu. Kuzu. Not a Z and S. Kuzu. That is, the turtles are stacking cherries. But then sentence number 10, if you want to say the cherries are stacking the turtles, now you've got to mark both arguments in unnatural case, because that's not how you expect it to happen. So, swazaki ni minivu ni kuzu. And that is, I also realized, no, I think I did that right. Yes. Yes, because the US is what got reduplicated. So, kus is stacking. Mm-hmm. In proto form, ku in modern form, and then kusu is the plural. I momentarily was like, oh no, I didn't reduplicate it, but I did. It's fine. And so those are the sentences we are working with, and that is 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's actually 11.
Yeah, because of the extra case,
the unnatural. Yeah, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I just counted again. Yes. 11 sentences. I lied. It's not 10. It's 11. Deal with it. All right. So that is what we are working with. If you choose to take on this challenge, I do have a handout for you to work with. And so on the handout, I give the forms that are going to be your starting point for the language. And so if you choose group 3, you'll see these 11 sentences as is. If you choose group 2, you will see the group 2 forms. And I am showing them right now on the screen, but I'm not going to read through all of them just because I've already done it. But I do want to point out a couple things. Like the mouse is singing with the rabbit. At this point, nasal codas have been lost. And they've left behind a low tone, but they also left behind a nasal vowel. So in stage 2, there's a nasal vowel.
Oh my gosh.
And so like, vuete me is actually,
forgot about that.
Vuete me, me.
Vuete me.
Vuete me. And so you see that there. You're also going to see long vowels where you wouldn't see them in modern forms. And so, for instance, when that negation, which was an F that got added at the very end, it went to an H before it deleted. And so for didn't eat, you get so with an adjective S. So, mi, pi, long I, low tone, H. Because the weak fricatives, had they elongated the vowels, left a low tone, and they reduced to H and then disappeared.
But we don't have any long vowels in this language, right?
In stage 2, we do.
Really?
In stage 2, we've got diphthongs and long vowels all over the place.
My goodness.
Yeah. By the time we get to modern, they're all gone. You're absolutely right. But in stage 2, when you stop, that happens.
That's fascinating. Now,
if you want to use stage 2 as your starting point, you may be like, how in the world do I look? Because if you want to be creative and like add more words, or if you want to go back into what you know is the Wukuthishu dictionary, grab some more proto forms because you want to switch some words out or do something different with the language. What you can do is, I've actually in the handout that I'm going to put with this on Patreon, in the handout, I indicate where to delete in Lexergy the sound changes. And so there's a spot in Lexergy where you just like delete the ending ones. You can use Lexergy to get these mid-stage forms. And I think it's at like change number 7, where it's like there's, you know, like tone and coda shift is going on. And then there's another change below that that is like finishing the tone and coda shift or something. I forget what it's exactly called. But if you just take all of that, so when you go into the Langtime sound change interface and it pulls up the sound changes for you, just go right into that middle box and delete everything from the bottom, from the point I tell you to, and then it will give you the forms. So that way you can see what's changed and what hasn't yet taken effect. And so there, so you do have help if you want to do these things. And then if you're using protoforms, again, you're just using protoforms, you're going to think more about not only what sound changes do you want, but how do you want some of these early affixes to start looking in terms of, you know, how they're going to grammaticalize in your form. So it's really, you get a lot more open choices here, shall I say, in terms of what direction the language could take. In these 11 sentences, a few in particular to look at are the dual, again, thinking, do you want that? We do also have the plural marker, which we've talked about. And so like that could be something else to consider. The pluractional reduplicative suffix, you can consider that. Negation, where we have the object incorporation prefix and then the ablative required if you want to indicate, you know, like a direct object of a negated verb form, as well as the negated suffix if in the protoform is, you know, if or just f if it already ends in a vowel. And then the unnatural case to mark, you know, those duties rather than having, say, a nominative or accusative. So those are some extra things to really consider. And so that's the challenge. David, do you have any advice, especially as someone who's hearing this right now? So like you haven't been thinking about it for a month, like maybe I have, even though I've done nothing. So it's like I haven't actually done anything or even made an actual decision about which group I'm going to choose. I've had time to really bat ideas around. You're new to this.
I would say that in order for this to be the most fun, they should really take your advice quite seriously. And whatever stage they start at, delete everything that happens afterwards and forget it. Like, if you start to think too much about where Wukuthishi ended up, I think that you may be unduly influenced. You may think, oh, I have to do this or I don't have to do this. You don't have to do any of it. I think it's going to be the most fun if you just say, this is my input and I am now creating a conlang. I think that's going to be cool.
And in when you have starting materials, remember that, because here you have the vocabulary, you have the way the grammar is laid out or could be laid out, you have that. So you may be wondering, but what do I do from there? Remember that sounds can always change. Even, you know, like modern Wukuthishu, if that's where they split off, great. As they're isolated from the rest of the, you know, speaking community, they could get some really strong pronunciation shifts that just start to happen. And so they could have sound changes that set them apart from the others. Think about how we use, you know, like words differently, where we just start using this other form to really mean this new thing. And so words can shift, grammar can shift still, but vocabulary can also change. Those are the three areas where languages change. Obviously, if you start with the protoforms, you've got more of an open book with how exactly you want to change all that. But that doesn't mean that if you want to be in group three with Modern Mukwetishu as your input, that you don't really have anywhere to go. You have places to go. You can really move forward. They could also, I don't want to plant too many seeds here just in case, but they may be near Ingala speakers or Tpahla speakers or Nuli Sioux speakers, and they may hear words. Mm-hmm. They may trade still. You know, they're not battling, but that doesn't mean they necessarily don't talk to anybody in the Sovala landscape. And so if you want them to, you know, kind of have a situation where they do barter and trade with communities around them as they're making their life, you can consider that. And so, yeah, just things to lay out there. And David has nothing more to add?
No. I am already thinking about what I am going to do. So I will, I think I know what I'm going to do. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see what others are going to do. I want to say where I'm going to start, like which stage I'm going to start at. But I don't even want to do that. I think it'll be a fun surprise for everybody if we just, make our decisions and then we present them when we're ready.
And speaking of when you're ready, I forgot to actually add this on a slide, so it's staring at you on the screen. But I will put it in the handout and I will definitely put it in the post as well. But if you do want to participate, I'm going to use the 27th again as a cutoff. But remember, that's, by the end of the 27th, midnight my time is mm-hmm. probably when I'll start collecting things. And so that is the cutoff, not because I don't want you to have more time with it, but 27th of October, that is. But because I still need to put things together for, the slideshow moving forward. And so really, if you can get it to me sooner, that's better. And but I also want to give you 3 weeks,
Yeah. I'm just now remembering we're going to be gone from the 25th to the 30th.
We are, David. That is a wonderful thing to point out. So I just said the 27th, but what I really meant was we need to kind of push that to the 24th because I'm going to need to have everything collected and ready, ready to compile, because while we are gone, I'll have limited time to work and I'll need to get that all compiled, because then when we come back, we'll need to record the day we get back, really. And so
it's going to be Halloween.
But kids go to bed and
they do. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, if you need longer, if you're participating and you need longer, please, work with me. Let me know. We can work around it. But if you can get it to me by the 24th, that would really help me out. So that way I have everything downloaded and on my computer and I can start putting together the presentation as we travel, because I was not thinking in terms of my life having other things going on
hopefully,
at the end of the month.
Hopefully it'll be a relaxing trip.
It will take away from time just at the computer. And so I'm not saying the trip itself is going to be stressful. I'm saying trying to compile all of this will be difficult because we just won't be sitting at our computers all day.
This is, by the way, this is just for you, Karis. You said that we needed to throw more Simpsons references in. It's like you said, the 27th, but actually the 24th. It's just like, when Fat Tony says you have 48 hours, and just to show you I'm serious, you have 24 hours. Actually, you know what? I think it was 24 and 12. Sorry if I screwed that up. Anyway, but...
So David may have screwed that up, but I'm still giving you 3 weeks, and 3 weeks is what I said I wanted to give people. I would love to give you longer, but if you want your stuff included in the next podcast, we've got to record it before the first. Mm-hmm. And so that's just how it runs. So hope you all have fun with it if you tackle it. If you do tackle it, again, what you're doing is giving me the modern forms of your version of the language for these 11 sentences. And so you may need to pull vocab in from outside, but do it specific to these sentences. Anything you do on top is bonus, but it's really just bonus. And if at minimum, if you want to participate, but you really don't have time to tackle all 11, do the first three. The mouse is singing, the two mice are singing, the mice in plural are singing. You know, do those first three. And then if you get that done, because it's really the same base, add in another. You know, just do as much as you can.
Feel free to also either request or suggest new proto forms for Woke with Tiju in the Woke with Tiju Discord channel. After all, we can always add them somewhere to the language just so that those proto forms exist for you.
Yeah. Excellent. So I think that covers everything. I think we're good. I'm excited to get this started. I know David's excited. And let's get these kangaroo rats some speaking abilities.
Way to go, mate.
All right, well, everyone, I don't know how to end it after that. Hope you all have a great month with this. Stay grammar. And until then, happy mousing.
Bye, everybody.